Glory to God. It's bitter for the kingdom. It's bitter for the kingdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. We saw yesterday that the definition of tough. We saw that it's strong enough to withstand adverse conditions. You're strong enough to withstand adverse conditions. Glory to God. That is strong enough to withstand contrary conditions. Glory to God. These are conditions that stand up, but they are coming up against you. See, strong enough to withstand adverse conditions or rough handling. It means able to endure hardship or pain. Able to endure hardship or pain. We saw not easily broken. Not easily broken, weakened or defeated. Not easily broken, weakened or defeated. That's what it means to be tough. You're not easily broken. Not every little word. You know, there are some people that you know that even if you spoke with them or you wanted to speak with them, you can't. Why? Because you know they are fragile. They are fragile. If you speak to them like this, they will not stay. Don't ever be that kind of person. Don't ever be that kind of person. You see, I like how my dear man of God says, he says, don't be a sissy in the kingdom. Glory to God. Don't be a coward. Don't be a baby so emotionally rooted. Some people are like that. Their emotions are like this. What happens? They can't. You know when the Bible talks of the end times, it says there are those that can't endure sound doctrine. Are we together? Real teaching. They have itchy ears. We're none of that fault. We are soldiers. Soldiers. You know, I want you to understand that this is the kingdom we have come into. It's not for cowards. It's not for babies. Even when you look at how Jesus spoke to the disciples, he wasn't speaking to them as though he was worried they might leave. Now he's choosing his words. No, he wasn't choosing his words. He was speaking to them direct. How long shall I suffer you? I mean, are we together? Last time, you know, last Sunday, before Mama was sharing, she was going through the scriptures. And then she's looking at how Jesus spoke of the disciples, like those to follow. He says, if you have not left, you have not hated, if you have not loved me more than you love others, if you have not, if you put your hand, the Bible says, this is what it says, if you put your hand upon the plow and you turn backward, you are not worthy of me. It's not, he's not trying to search for who can work with me. No. He's not trying to search for who can work with me. He tells you, if you have come in here, you better make up your mind that you have come to serve. Are we together? You know, we're living in a time where the important things have been made so low that it seems optional and it seems secondary. The primary things of life, the major things of life. Now come to Christianity. Men have come up with every other thought and every other whatever to try to sell out an idea that Christianity, you can be a Christian and do any other thing. You can be a Christian and walk anyhow, any way you choose, that you can serve God by your thoughts, by the way you want to serve him. No, my dear, we don't serve God the way we want to serve him. We serve God the way he wants us to serve him. We are serving him, not us. So we follow the script. We follow the path. We are soldiers. Are we together? And this is very important for us to understand. Very, very important for us to understand. Because when we don't understand that, we will begin to look at instructions And directions and commands as suggestions and as secondary, as opinions. God's word is not an opinion. God's word is truth. God's word is commands, directions. Are we together? When he says fear not, it's not a suggestion. It's not an opinion. When he says fear not, it's a command. You are not permitted to fear. You are not, no matter the circumstances, he says fear not. So what does that mean? It means if he has commanded you not to fear, it is not in you to fear. You are not permitted to fear. You are obliged not to fear. You are, the option of fear concerning you has been eliminated by the command you have received of him. He says, fear not, little folks, for it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He has given you the kingdom. That means fear is of those that have not yet entered the kingdom. He says, fear not, little flocks, for it is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So the father desires. So because the only reason why a man should fear is because they don't have the kingdom. Or they don't know whether they can possess it. But after you have received it, there's no reason for fear. It says, perfect love casts out fear. When a man is living in this perfect love, fear is negated. Fear is cut off. Fear is refused. Fear is disabled, is removed. Are we together? Fear and the new creature are two opposite things. But it says, now he writes to Timothy, Paul, and tells him, he says to him, he tells him, endure hardness as a good soldier, Second Timothy 2. He says, endure hardness. In other words, be tough, be tough, be tough. Don't be easily broken. Like some people that get offended by every other thing. Every other thing, never allow. There are things that pastors told us and said, never permit it. Never permit it. And it's true, we permit things. You can never permit yourself to think indifferent. You are in charge. Are we together? Now, when you understand you were a soldier, now instructions are everything to you. Moses, while talking of the word, he says, the instructions of God are life. David spoke the same thing. To Moses, the directions, the commands were life to him. Are we together? Life. Glory to God. Life. 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 Praise the Lord. We're talking of being tough. Being tough. Glory to God. Tough. You're tough. You're solid. Glory to God. You're solid. Unflinching. Unmoved. Undisturbed. You're like that young lion rolling over its prey. When God has spoken to you, you must be hard. You know, this is toughness. It is. You are hard-hearted concerning the beliefs, concerning the things you believe about the word of God. Hard-hearted. What does it mean to be hard-hearted? It means that you are not receiving any other options. You are not taking in any other suggestions. You are not moved by the outside occurrences. Why? Because you are rooted, you are grounded, you have settled your mind. This is what we need. I was looking in the scriptures and I was like, do you know everyone that served God was tough? Tough. Are we together? Tough. Peter was tough. John was tough. Look at Peter. These guys have been imprisoned. And sorry, they have appeared before the court of law. This is a time where they are being persecuted. Acts chapter 4, verses 19. Praise the Lord. But when you read before, now the council has sat. Let's read from verse 16. The council has sat. They say, it's better to read the entire chapter, but let's just read from there. Saying, what shall we do to these men? Now the council, they have sent them out in verse 15. They have sent them out of the council so that the council can sit and then talk. So now they speak. He says, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. I want you to understand that many times the reason for opposition is because you have become afraid. Are you with me? You have become afraid to their religiosities, to their systems. And so when they look at you and see the way you are going, they are afraid. Many of the people that will stand up against you, speak against you, fight you, are not surely, it's not because they hate you. No, no. Many of them have refused to admit that you have advanced beyond them. So they want to pull you down to come to their levels. You need to understand that anytime you find opposition in the things you believe, it is because of what you believe that you are seeing what you're seeing. So if you take your eyes off of what you believe to consider what you are seeing, you have missed it. That's what the enemy comes to do. He comes in to take your eyes off of the goal, off of the target, off of the prize, so that you put it on the contrary conditions that you begin to drown, just like Peter did when he was walking on water. When he took his eyes off of Jesus and looked at the storm, he began to sink. That's what the scriptures say. Don't allow the contrary wind, the contrary circumstances to get you off of Christ. Are we together? It doesn't matter what happens. All right, let's continue. Let's continue. And then, so they are saying, they are trying to threaten them because of what? The miracle. And these guys themselves acknowledged that the miracle, a notable miracle, had just happened. They said, you see, it spread over. I said, what shall we do? We can't deny it. Think about it. These are guys that are trying to stop them, and yet they believe in what they are doing big time in such a way that they are threatened. They're like, we can't deny what these guys are doing, but still they will fight you. Even when they see that what has happened is God, this is a miracle, they will still stand up to say, come on. That's what the devil would do still. You will find that you have seen a miracle here, supernatural provision here. You have seen the miraculous here. You have seen this. And then he will still come and tell you it will not work. He will still come to you and tell you, you are worse. Why? He's threatened by you. So he's trying to intimidate you. He's trying to behave as though he's not seeing what is happening. No. The fact that you have heard his voice is proof that he's seeing everything. Are you with me? Glory to God. So the mind that endures hardness is a different kind of mind. It's a different kind of attitude. That's what I'm sharing with us. Verse 17. But that it spreads no further. That it spreads no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them. Did you hear that? He says that. So they are trying to stop what these guys and the miracles that are happening. So what? How do they plan to stop them? Is by threatening them. He says that it spread no further. Prolific. Are we together? No proliferating. They are trying to stop it. They are lying themselves. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. He says, let's strictly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. They know what has brought the miracle. It is the name. They are against the name. Why are they against the name? Is it because they don't believe in what the name can do? They believe in what he can do. That's why they are trying to stop it. Because if these guys continue speaking in this name, these kinds of miracles will continue and the people will come to believe in this name because they are seeing. Are we together? So not everyone that fights you doesn't believe in you. No. No, they believe in you so much that they are threatened. And many times, this is what happens. Many of the people that I taught about criticism years ago, and I told you some of the people that will criticize you are people that God commanded to do the things you are doing and disobeyed. So when they see you doing it, they would want you to disobey so that you join their condemned class. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that you join their condemned class, that both of you will sit. So they want to see they have failed, so they want to see another failure to be encouraged. Don't ever allow them to get your attention. Don't ever allow it to be. Glory to God. So they are telling, no, no speaking in this name. So after them making up their minds on what to tell them, so they called them. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all. Did you hear that? Not to speak. This is the authority. These are the authorities that be. They are telling them right now. Remember what Jesus commanded them. Jesus commanded them. He says, in my name. Go therefore in my name. Now these men, because they have authority, because they can sit as the council, and they are saying to them now, you cannot preach in this name. He says, you cannot. They commanded. It's not they asked. It's not they begged. It's not they gave an option. It's not. No, they commanded them. So it was a policy that was passed. They are passed out a law now. They say they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Hakati. But Peter, bold, fearless, tough. Are we together? Peter stood out. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Marakito Kovahaya. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Are you with me? These are men. They are standing before authority, not intimidated by the commands of men. He says, I told you, tough, children of God, this is how Christianity was birthed. This is how what we have believed came into being. There are men that were tough. They were able, they were not weak. They were not easily broken. They were ready to face whatever it is for the cause of this gospel. Ready to face the authority and speak out. Are we together? This is how Christianity came to us. Well, because men stood, men refused to bow. What about Paul? What about Paul? What about Paul? Pekatule bakazuka takabaya lege zuka takabaya. Woo! Kabaya metalabahazobaya. What about Paul? Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 21. You say to yourself, you say, I'm tough. Yes, I'm tough. I'm tough. I'm tough. Barakatakaba zobaya. I'm tough. Marakatakabaya. I'm not easily weakened, not easily broken, not easily. I don't give up. I don't give in. I'm tough. Tough, 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 tough. Paul akatokabaye. Woo! Let us look at Paul. Acts chapter 21. Verse 13. Now, Paul, a prophet named Agabus, stands out and prophesies and tells Paul of what was going to happen. From verse 11, we'll look at it quickly. From verse 11, and when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus says the Holy Ghost. This is now the Holy Ghost talking. We heard what men talked. You know, there are some things that you read. Huh? There are some scriptures you read, and you're like, oh, precious Lord. And you're like, are you with me? And you're like, who is this? Who is this? Is this man? Is this? Now listen to this. Listen to this. Before we have heard what Peter handled, men spoke. Listen. Oh. You know, there's some things that you're like, oh God, what have I done with my Christianity? My God. My God. Someone just was walking and hit their feet. And what happened? Because they hit their feet, they can't put on shoes, so they can't go to church. Let's read. The prophet prophesies and speaks. Thus says the Holy Ghost. So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this gate, or gado, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Precious Lord. Listen, this is the Holy Ghost talking. The man, and it is true, this man was a prophet. And what he prophesied was not lies. He's not prophet lying. He's prophesying. It's true. He says, this is what is going to be done. This is what is going to be done. Praise the Lord. He says, and when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. So Luke is saying, he says, when we heard this prophecy, they knew this is God talking. They said, oh, they speak. Now they turn to Paul and began to plead with him, please don't go to Jerusalem. Don't go. Don't go. Why? Because he said that. Precious Lord. Because they said the Holy Ghost has already spoken what is going to happen. They tell him, please don't go. Please don't go. They loved him. They loved him. He was their leader. He brought the word to them. They knew that this arm is coming to him. And so they began. They knew him. That's why they are pleading with him. Oh, God, that we may believe your word. That we may take your word. That the commission to take the gospel around the nations of the world will become more important to us than our necessary food. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll become so solid in the things that we have believed, the things you have spoken to us. Oh, Lord. So they knew that this man, the way he loved taking the gospel, he will not listen. He will not listen. And so they began to plead. They besought him that he would not go. As you know, go. Verse 13. Then Paul answered, "What mean?" He says, "What mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready." Children of God, this same gospel has been committed to our trust. These same things have been we have received. Look at what someone has done with this. He says, "What do you mean to weep and to break my heart?" He's saying, "You know me, you know me. You will not have to plead with me concerning this. It means you haven't understood me well." Oh my God. And he says, "For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." That is Paul. He says, "I'm ready not only to be bound, but to also die." The prophet had said he was going to be in prison. They were worried for him. They cried out. I remember the Lord Jesus at that cross. Oh, shut a kaba secret here. And Mary and the women were crying. He turned to them and he said, "Don't weep for me. Don't cry for me. Cry for your children." Oh. Children of God, the gospel has been committed to our trust. The gospel. It's been committed to our trust. The message has been committed to our trust. We have a responsibility with God. We have a responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to God. God expects us to be tough. He expects us to be tough. He knows where he has sent us and he's sending us. He knows exactly where he's sending us. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, he says, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." The thing is, what are you going to do about the things that you are being taught? How have you taken these things? Have you taken them so low that when a different voice comes in and tells you otherwise, you will bow to it? We have taught you the word of God. How is it to you? Some people will believe it until they face an opposing voice. When they face an opposing situation, they bow immediately. They had the word, but the word was not rooted in them. Child of God, we need to be tough concerning these things. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. What we have been given is truth. It is life. It is the very word and substance of God. That's what has been committed to our trust. We have a mandate to reach the world. It's our responsibility and nobody else. The whole world has become our city, and it's our responsibility to reach it. Nobody else but us are sent to do this. We can't give an excuse. We can't. We can't. It does not matter. It doesn't matter. My dear, the gospel reached us by the shedding of blood of many. The shedding of blood. Shedding of blood. Men had to die that we may receive it. We can't take this lightly. We can't take these things lightly. We cannot. We cannot. We cannot. Our jobs can be more important than this course. Our families can be more important than this course. Our dreams can be more important than this course. The gospel being committed to our trust. Nobody else can reach those young people. Nobody can reach the schools. Nobody can reach. When you don't, I want you to understand. When commands from the Spirit come to you and you don't respond, you don't respond. You willingly permit the reign of the devil in your time. Because God sends you. He has already spoken and said, saviors. He calls you a savior to your world. He says, you are the savior of those young people. You are the savior. And so he says, go, take over for me. And so you get busy, occupied. You say you don't have time. You are busy doing this and this, my dear. Don't allow the things of this world become so important to you. Don't allow them to become so important to you that the voice of God will be so low that you can hear and not do. Don't allow this world. There's nothing in this world worth dying for. It's not there. There's nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing. Nothing. Don't ever let the things of this world become so important that when God needs your attention, you don't have it. Why? Because you are occupied. Occupied with what? With things that tomorrow you will search for are not there. We are being committed, we are being sent, given a mandate to teach all nations. We can't. We have to come to this place. We have to come to this place where we will lay down every other thing. Every other thing. Every other thing. Every weight. Lay it down. And there's nothing we cannot do for the gospel. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing we cannot do for the gospel. Nothing. There's nothing we cannot do for this cause. Nothing. It is the reason we work. It's the reason why we know the people we know. It's the reason why we live in the places we live in. It's the people why God has given us the intellect we have. It's the reason why we think. It's the reason why we can study. It's the reason why we work. It's the reason why we talk. It's the reason why we walk. It's the reason why we have sense that the gospel might advance through us. Let us not take it light. Don't be caught up with civilian affairs. That now what is important to them has become so important to you. Now, when God has to speak, he has to convince you with many words. I'm like the prophet. Once has he spoken, twice did I hear. I don't need to hear again. When he speaks, I've heard, and I've heard well. For one word is enough to the wise. He doesn't need to talk much. I'm an obedient child of the Most High God. Obedient. I know from whence I've come. I'm a product of God's word, born of the word. The ground on which I was born is the blood. Jesus shed his blood. Child of God, what have you done with this gospel? What have you done with the things that you have heard of him? Things you have been taught. Don't let anything stand between you and them. Don't let it. You see, like Paul says, if I die, I die. Think of men of old, men like Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, men like Isaiah, men that never feared anything. They didn't fear any king. They didn't fear any. They went before and they knew what was going to happen. And they came and prophesied and stood up and condemned the governments of their time. They said, this will not. They were in prison, cast in dungeons. The Bible talks of those men. It says, men to whom the world was not worthy. To whom the world was not worthy. Have you become that man, the woman to whom the world is not worthy? What is in your hands? What do you, when your eyes look at things, how do you look? Would you look like Nebuchadnezzar of old, who looked at the cities and says, see what my hands have made me? Is it how you look at things? Or you would look like David. You see an opportunity in all things. And you say, precious Lord, who am I that you would give me this opportunity that I can even work? And then not just work, but you give me an opportunity to labor with you. That you would call me and tell me to give. What a blessing. Are we together? Child of God, this gospel should mean everything to us. All your strategies should be because of this cause. All your planning should be because of this cause. When you see what boils inside of you, when you think what runs in your mind, children of God, there's nothing too important, nothing. For say it, I consider all things but dung to the attainment of this great prize. It says nothing. Don't be attached to this world. Don't let the love of the things of this world become something to you. My relationship with men, my connection with men is in line with this cause. Refuse to sell out. I'm not a friend of the world. No, I'm not. I'm not a friend of the world. I'm not. Not a friend of the world. I've been sent to save them, not to befriend them. If I connect with a man, it's because of the gospel. If it's not that, I don't have time. My mind needs to be stayed, consecrated for the kingdom. I think for the kingdom. I plan for the kingdom. I pray for the kingdom. I strategize for the kingdom. Yes. I'm God's man. God's man. God's able man for the work. I am. I am. We'll stop here for today. Christian ministers are talking and they've been talking and will continue to talk in this. Being tough for the kingdom. Tough. Tough. The things you can't talk about around me. The things I can't even think I don't know how someone thinks. You think the things I can't think. I don't think quitting. I don't think what the kingdom advances by me. Who else can occupy my place? Nobody. Nobody. God's man for the job. I am. And I'll be the best at it.